Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Rachel Bomberger.
You are not Andy.
I am not Andy. Are we glad about that? Or
I think I will not comment because I like my job.
Wherever you are, Andy, we love you.
He has a field day today.
Ooh.
With the kiddo, so.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I hope he's not listening.
I probably not. At least not right now. It is Friday, September 28th. It is the last Friday in September, which is crazy.
Where did that month go?
I have no idea. And now it's like legit fall weather too. Like, brought out the flannel and the scarves and it's great. My Michigan blood is loving this.
Oh, right, you're going to hate this. As soon as I am done with this, guess where I'm going?
Michigan?
Yep.
No. Take me with you. If only. That's all right. We'll get back there eventually, sometime. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for your support of the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about them at cuw.edu, or you can go to our website, kfuo.org, and find them in the sponsor section. So, Rachel, you're with me in studio today because of Lutheran Witness.
Yes.
Of course, because you are, is it managing editor?
Managing editor of the Lutheran Witness.
And we appreciate all of your work. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's a lovely. Some really great articles this month about time.
Yes.
And what all that means in our vocations.
I like to keep the topics nice and broad. That way I have a lot of room to play.
It's really smart. One more topics. So we have, I think, a very interesting guest with us this morning. Her article in the Lutheran Witness about being a chaplain's wife. Joining us by phone today is Heather Weber, chaplain's wife and author of Chaplain's Log, June 4th, 2018, in the September Lutheran Witness. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about how the Weber family began and your life with your husband.
Paul and I met at Concordia University in Chicago 27, 8 years. Something like that years ago. It's kind of funny because I just said to someone, yeah, I'm never going to marry someone who's good pre-sem, which means going to the seminary. But God had other plans, and I met Paul and you know, fell in love, and things went from there. And we married this summer between RF and going to the seminary in Fort Wayne.
It's funny how God's plans are very different from ours sometimes.
Yes. And then we went on to have four wonderful children, three girls and a boy, and they're ages 16 to 23. So my experience as a chaplain's wife is a little bit different than others because a lot of people have the younger kids that they have to mm-hmm. take care of too, and mine are older, which I was actually also very thankful for. Mm-hmm. I don't think I do as good a job at, when they were that young, but it was really nice having the older kids around to help out and stuff.
Yeah. So seminary was a plan all along. When did military chaplaincy come into the picture? Was that something that was a plan as well, or was that something that came along down the line?
That came along down the line. When I met Paul and got to know him, I knew that he was always supportive of the military. And in fact, he had wanted to enlist when he turned 18 into the armed forces. But when he was 16, God had other plans for him at the time and said nope. And so his life changed at the moment. And so he ended up going to college and becoming a pastor. And then, you know, years later when someone said, have you ever thought about doing this too? Because we need chaplains in the National Guard in Iowa right now. We need some good chaplains there. And things went on from there. So it was much later. It was actually just 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Now, I have a question for you. I know your husband is a guardsman. When he joined the National Guard, was deployment anywhere on the horizon for you?
Yes and no. because, you know, the National Guard is definitely, you know, that they can get deployed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that was when I remember as part of getting into the chaplaincy, I mean, and joining it, we ended up talking to the people at church, LCMS MAF, which is Ministry to the Armed Forces, and the director at the time wanted me in at the meeting. He said, "Now you do realize that he might be deployed. Are you, you know, okay with this? Because this is, you know, not something I married into, kind of a thing." And and I said the same thing I said earlier. Just if I'd done it when the kids were really little, it would have been hard to be without, you know, family members around and everything to help out. But my kids are older now, so it'd be easier. And we still, this is was his first appointment after 7.5 years. So we always knew it was a possibility, but it, you know, it just, it didn't happen right away. It hasn't happened that often, so.
Yeah. Having older children, you mentioned, is definitely a different way of life than having the young kids to have to take care of. Who is your support system through deployment when it's you at home with the older kids? Who else is your support system?
Well, I kind of leaned on whoever put in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up having some various, well, I leaned on all the construction people I needed to call for various reasons.
You need people.
You know, I just said, look, this is what's going on, and I had to trust that God put, you know, caring people, not scam artists kind of things, in front of, you know, the people that would really be willing to help out, and it worked out really well. And I also have the neighbors, and I'll tell you, a lot of things go wrong when you're on deployment. You never, this is story true, that things break when he's gone. I think I told Rachel some of these things. I had the air conditioner go out for 16 days. When it went out, it was 78 degrees. In 5 days, it went up to the 90s. It stayed there for the hottest streak we had all summer. Let's see, the air conditioner broke. The car, I had like 3 cars with the yellow engine check lights all at the same time. We own 5 cars, by the way, because I've got, you know, kids that drive and stuff. And luckily, Paul wasn't using his car, so that helped, you know. And then we had a car that got in a car accident, and nobody wanted to drive that car anymore. What else? Oh, the washing machine broke. And, I mean, this was all within, a couple of those things were all within, like, you know, 3 weeks of each other. My arm got in, and I had to put my arm in a brace. I mean, just, it was one thing after another after another. But then there's times where it's quiet again. So, anyway, you asked who else was support. Like I said, sometimes I just had to call up and say, I need help, and, you know, get the right people. Neighbors offered their lawn service when the lawnmower wouldn't work to get ready for a party. Said, I'll tell you, you know, we'll send the lawn service over for free, and they'll do it right before your party. And I was like, thank you.
So in the middle of this season of craziness, along comes me saying, Heather, what's a typical day like? And by the way, could you put me in touch with your husband? Because I'd really like to give readers a hour by hour account of a typical day for you and also for him. So, tell me about that experience and that day and everything that was going on in your mind as you were trying to distill the chaplain's wife experience into a single day diary.
Well, he had offered up a couple of options of days that would work for him, and I nixed the anniversary one. I don't know why. I just said, okay, 2 days before was our 25th anniversary, by the way. On the 12th, and that, I'm like, no, I don't really, I think that would be too emotional at the time. I didn't want to write about that one. And yes, he has missed a bunch of them lately, but, you know, it is what it is. Because that's when they do their annual trainings, are usually in June. But anyway, so I said, okay, well, the 14th seems, you know, there's days when there's stuff going on, and then there's days when there's nothing. And I thought, okay, the 14th, I had some things going on, but no big deal. But, you know, that was another day. I honestly can't remember. I don't have it in front of me to remember all the details. I do remember my daughter was coming. We were going to be driving up to Mequon to get her registered for school there. And she was late that night coming back. And then I called where she was coming from. And they're like, oh, she left already a long time ago. And, you know, I mean, it turned out, oh, just she had a flat tire, but I was thinking there's a curve that's nasty and all this stuff, and what would have happened to her, and I don't know. And I had rushed home from work. They were supposed to pick me up, and I ended up coming home instead. It was like everything, was crazy and stressful, and it's really hard when you when you're the one that has is the only adult around. I mean, my kids are adults, but you know they look to me to say, okay, when do we call this help, or how do we make this decision, or something. And
so even a day that was specifically chosen to have no drama sounds like there was a lot of drama.
Yes. Well, and we had arranged, okay, if she comes home and then someone else would pick up my car, but they'd pick me up and we'd get up to the hotel and relax before the next day of all the registration and all these things. And then all of a sudden, where is she? Well, she hasn't come home yet. Well, what do you mean she hasn't come home yet? Okay, I'll just come home now. And then, okay, call the job. And then, well, when did she leave? Well, I thought she left an hour ago. I'm like, what? You know, and you know, and it turned out she had a flat tire low something. And it was just like, okay, just another time when one of our cars needs to get checked. So we switched which car we were driving up to there. And yeah, just, it's just, like I said, it's always been like, you know how things come in threes, bad things can come in threes, you know, just sometimes it came in nines. but then like July was a lot quieter and it was very relaxing but I also have to keep myself busy during these times too with my own goals. Some of my goals got pushed off, but you know, I found different activities to do. Got to keep yourself actively fit and things. So I joined a club and swam 100 miles this summer.
Wow, Heather, yeah. Thanks so much for sharing your story. And it's been great to hear about your life as a chaplain's wife. And you can read Heather's story in the September edition of the Lutheran Witness. And we'll have another story coming up right after the break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Rachel Bomberger.